I covet your prayer as I attempt to bring this message because I fear darkening counsel with words without knowledge with regard to this subject of growth. What does the Bible teach regarding spiritual growth? And this is not a how-to message. There's been plenty of those. How to grow. That's not what this is about. And I approach this subject with fear. So please pray for me as I try to bring this message. I've entitled this message, Grow, Increase, and Abound. These are three scriptural words. Grow, increase, and abound. And let me remind you of three things before I begin this message. Number one, the Lord gives the increase. The Lord gives the increase. If you and I are going to grow, it's because He causes us to grow. And you can't really see yourself grow. I'm really making some progress. No, you're not. You can't see yourself grow. And you can't make yourself grow. Keep those things in mind. Yet every believer desires this thing of growth. Peter said in verse 18, grow in grace. That's a command. Grow in grace. Now, if he tells us to grow in grace, that means there is such a thing as growth in grace, isn't there? Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These are two things that can't be separated. If I grow in the knowledge of him, I'll grow in grace. If I grow in grace, I will grow in my knowledge of him. Now, I've been thinking about this message for a couple of months, kind of simmering on the back burner, and a scripture came to my mind just a few days ago that made me know I want to deal with this tonight. It's where the apostles asked the Lord, they made this request, increase our faith. What a prayer. Increase our faith. We're going to look at that in its context in a few moments. We love babies. But what if they didn't grow? I've seen this once. And it's Dirk and Reba's daughter. You remember, it was a very disturbing sight, and what a terrible thing it was for them. It's a couple at the church in Crossville. They had a child, a little girl, that never did develop. The baby was on a ventilator for several years, never did develop, never recognized her parents, and the baby died at 5 years old. I don't know why this was, but this baby never did develop. Can you imagine how happy they were upon the birth of this baby girl? And yet, what a grief that must have been to see where that child never did develop. Now, where there is life, there is growth. Amen. Where there is life, there is growth. And Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as growth. You know a scripture, I wish I could comment on it the way I should, but it said regarding the Lord Jesus Christ that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Somebody says, explain that to me. I'm not going to give a shot at it. What can I say? Other than he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. Now, with regard to growth, and I made this statement before, the growth of a believer is like the growth of a tree. If a tree is going to grow high, it's going to grow down, isn't it? The roots are going to go down and down and down. And I know this, if I experience true growth and grace, I'm going to see myself as lower and lower and lower. And when I reach the bottom, then go down some more. Now that's growth and grace. You see yourself as Paul saw himself, the very chief of sinners. Paul would look at me or you, and he would say, I am the chief of sinners. Now, growth is always downward. And if someone has a high opinion of themselves, they don't know anything about growth. It's downward. Growth is outward. You grow when you love people more, when you are more gracious, more merciful, more forgiving, more kind toward those people. You grow outward, and you grow upward in your amazement at the character of God. All at the character of God. All at His holiness, at His sovereignty, of His power, of His omniscience, of His omnipotence, all of His wonderful attributes. You grow to admire Him and love Him more. Now, those three things always go together. Where you have one, you'll have all three. You'll grow down in your view of yourself. You'll grow outward in your love to others. And you'll grow upward in your view, in your awe, and your fear of God. Now, the Scripture teaches that there are different stages and states of growth. John speaks of little children. He speaks of young men who are strong. He speaks of fathers in the faith. And we all have seen mature believers. What a joy it is to be around a mature believer. And we've seen believers whose growth seems to be stunted. And that is scriptural too. I mean, think of what Paul said to the Corinthians. He said, you're babes. He said, you're carnal. I got to preach to you as if you were just natural men because your growth is stunted. The writer to the Hebrews said, you ought to be teachers, but you have one need to teach you again. What be the first principles of the gospel? So there is such a thing as maturity in the faith, growth in faith. There's such a thing as being little in faith. And didn't the Lord talk about great faith and little faith? One time he even said, where is your faith? I don't see it operating. Where is it? So this is definitely a scriptural concept. The fact that there are mature believers and there are immature believers. And I know all of us want to be a mature believer. Someone who grows in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. Watch out. If your brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again, saying to thee, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our ability to forgive. give us more of a forgiving spirit. That's all he said. They said, increase our faith. The only way we will be enabled to do this is through an increase in faith. Now, somebody reads that passage of Scripture and they think, well, does that mean if my brother sins against me and doesn't apologize and repent, I'm not required to forgive him? Is that what that means? Well, what if the Lord did you that way? What if he would not forgive you unless you came to him? Scripture doesn't teach that, does it? His forgiveness of us is not in accordance to our asking to be forgiven. Well, if they don't ask, I'm not going to forgive them. No, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He didn't forgive you because you asked to be forgiven, or because you were sorry for your sin, or because you promised to not do it again, or because you stopped committing that sin. He forgave you for Christ's sake. Now, you forgive the way he forgives. For Christ's sake. If it's seven times a day, do it. And what did the apostles ask for? An increase in faith. Now, when I have my faith increased, I have more of an understanding than I did before that I'm forgiven wholly for Christ's sake. It is that simple. And if you see that you've been forgiven for this one reason, for Christ's sake, and no other reason, you know what you're going to do? You're going to forgive the same way. Paul said to the Corinthians, who were very immature, babes, carnal, walk as men. He says, we have hope. This was said in 2 Corinthians 10:15. We have hope that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you. We're looking for something when your faith is increased. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, you can jot this down. I got so many scriptures, I'm going to just read them. You can jot them down when you can. But Paul spoke in 2 Corinthians 9:10 of the Lord increasing the fruits of your righteousness. Now, what are the fruits of righteousness? Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit. That's what he's talking about. The Lord increase the fruit of the Spirit. Now, everybody that's born of God is born with the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, when a baby is born, he's got all his parts. But they grow. They grow. And he's telling us to grow in the fruit of God the Holy Spirit. I want to love God more than I did yesterday. I really do. I want to love him more. And I want to have more joy in the gospel. I want that to increase. And I want to believe him more thoroughly. I want to grow in faith. And I want to grow in long-suffering. I want to become more long-suffering, believing God is on the throne and just being calm about everything. He's in control. And I want to grow in gentleness or kindness. I want to grow in goodness. I want to grow in faith, meekness, temperance. Every believer desires growth in the fruit of God the Holy Spirit. And remember, I love these scriptures. Consider the lilies, how they grow. Our Lord reminds us of that. Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, a message on growth is not supposed to think, oh man, I need to grow more. Yeah, sure you do. Who doesn't? But this is to be encouraged. Consider the lilies, how they grow. It's not through anything but the power of God and the cause of God and the grace of God that they grow. I would say the same thing regarding the Beatitudes. I love the Beatitudes. That's what a believer really is. You read the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5, poor in spirit. somebody that mourns over their sin, somebody that's meek before God, somebody that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, somebody that's pure in heart, someone that's merciful, someone that's a peacemaker, someone that's persecuted for righteousness. I want to grow in this. I want to become more poor in spirit, don't you? I want to have a lower view of myself than I ever have. I want to see myself as completely dependent upon the charity of God at all times. I want to have this poverty of spirit. No, I want to mourn over my sin. I don't want to be indifferent about my sin. I want to mourn more over my sin. I want to become more meek before God, more submissive to whatever He does is right, believing whatever comes to me comes from His hand and it's for His glory and my good, and therefore I'm to meekly submit. I want to hunger and thirst more after righteousness, see my need of Christ more, hunger for Him more. I want to be like that heart who pants after the water brook that desires. I don't think you can grow in purity of heart. That's talking about the new heart that He is. But you can grow in the sense of manifesting it more. Manifesting it more in all things. I want to grow more merciful. I want to be more of a peacemaker. And I want to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. I want to represent the Lord in that way. To where I want to grow in this. These are all matters of growth. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding." There's the word. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to always be abounding in this thing of the work of the Lord. And what is the work of the Lord? It's the promotion of the gospel. It's the preaching of the gospel. It's the standing for the gospel. I want to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says to the Corinthians in verse 7, "Therefore, as you abound," now there's the word. It's you grow, you increase. "Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in your word of the gospel, in your knowledge, coming to understand Christ more clearly, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound, grow in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love." Now, what he's talking about is giving. I want to become more generous. Now, that's only by the grace of God. I realize that. But I want to give more sacrificially. I love what David said. I'm not going to offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. I want to abound in generosity, not worrying about what somebody else is doing, but I want to abound. I want to abound in being a cheerful giver. I love that passage of Scripture. God loves a cheerful giver. Here's something to abound in. Here's something to grow in. This thing of being generous. He said, "See that you abound, that you grow in this grace also." Look in Ephesians chapter 4. There's so much in the Scripture about this. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." What are we doing right now? This is about the perfecting of the saints, about the edifying of the body of Christ. That's what the purpose of this is. Turn with me to Philippians 1. This is Paul's prayer for the Philippians. And he says in verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound, may increase, may be over-surpassing, that your love may abound yet more and more to him, to his people." And look what he says, "I pray that your love might abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment." I pray that your love would grow in knowledge, true understanding of him, and all discernment. Now here's what he's praying. I want you to love Christ, increase in your love to Christ, so that you can discern that which is contrary to him. This is what I'm praying for you. That you might be enabled, because of your love to him, when you hear something that's contrary to him, you know it. You discern it. You're quick to see the difference, because you've been given this grace to abound in love to him. So you can tell the difference between law and grace, between that which is true and that which is in false, that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. Now, what happens when somebody comes to love Christ? They have a discerning ear. They hear because they know him. And because of your love to him, you despise that which robs him of glory. Because you love him, you despise that which is contrary to him, because you love his glory. You know, some folks, I think, well, they're too exact in their doctrine. You know, and what it is, it could be that because of their love to Christ is so little, they can tolerate that which someone who loves him more will not. And so what he's asking is that your love would abound. Not that you'd know more, that you'd be more doctrinally sound, but that your love to him would abound more in all knowledge, in all judgment, and that word judgment is discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent. You hear what's excellent, what glorifies him, and you approve of it. That's what happens when you love him, when your love abounds. And the only way our love is going to abound is his grace causing it to abound, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Now we're in Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 17. "Not because I desire a gift." I'm not saying these things because I want you to give to me, but "I desire fruit that may abound to your account." I want to see fruit overflow, is what he's saying to the Philippians. I want your fruit to overflow. It's another way of speaking of growth in the fruit of the Spirit. Turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Verse 6, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord." How'd you receive him? How'd you receive him? Freely. As an empty-handed sinner, needing his mercy. That's how you received him. As you received him, don't graduate past that. So walk in him. As you received him, so walk in him, rooted down and built up in him, and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding, there's the word, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, I want to abound in being a thankful person. Abounding in thanksgiving. Walking around amazed at the greatness of his grace toward me. Amazed and thankful for what how he's revealed himself to me. Oh, thankful people. If there's anything a believer ought to be, it ought to be thankful. Not murmuring and complaining, but thankful for the greatness of his grace. And I want to grow in thankfulness. Thankfulness to him for his grace. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase in this thing of love to the brethren, that you increase more and more. Don't you want to love God's people more? Don't you want to increase, abound, grow in your love to them? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's meet, as it's appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other abounds. Now, this is something you could see. Your faith grows exceedingly. You've seen people's faith grow. Your charity toward each other abounds. But what I want us to notice is, who did he thank for this? Man, you're all great people. I thank you that you've grown. No, he thanked God. He thanked God. I thank God that your faith grows exceedingly, and that charity for each of you abounds one toward another. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere, and that word sincere, I'm not real sure why they translated that, because it's just pure. Desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Crave, just like a newborn baby. I want to hear his word. Lord, give me a heart to hear your word. Give me a heart to read your word. Give me a heart to receive your word. Give me a heart to understand your word. I want to grow through hearing the word. And that's how growth comes. It's through the word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter chapter 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. You know, I love that, like precious faith. You know, all believers have the same faith, believe the same thing, no difference. And it's precious. It's the gift of God. Now he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And we know the reason we have this like precious faith is we've obtained it. He gave it to us. That's where it came from. Through the righteousness of God our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You've already got it. He gave it to you through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what every believer is, a partaker of the divine nature. That's what's given in the new birth. Having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And add to your virtue knowledge. And add to your knowledge temperance. Control from within, the fruit of God, the Holy Spirit. And add to your temperance patience. And add to your patience godliness. And add to your godliness brotherly kindness. And add to your brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't want to be barren, and I don't want to be unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he said, add all these things. 2 Peter, here's our text, 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Anybody he's long-suffering toward, he saves. The long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Look back in verse 9 of the same chapter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I think it's amazing how people try to use that verse of Scripture to talk about how God wants to save everybody. You can't get out of that if you read what he says. He's long-suffering to usward, those who are partakers of the divine nature, those who have been given faith, the elect of God, all who believe. He's long-suffering to usward. Remember, his long-suffering is salvation. And he's not willing that any of them perish. And you know what? If he's not willing that I perish, I'm not going to perish. Not going to happen. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now back to verse 15. Now you account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, I love the way Peter talks about his beloved brother Paul. Now, Paul publicly rebuked Peter in front of a whole lot of people. How will most people handle a public rebuke? They'll be upset. But what grace Peter demonstrates here. He calls him our beloved brother Paul. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things of salvation, in which are some things hard to be understood. You know, there's no doubt in my mind, reading Peter and reading Paul, Paul was intellectually superior to Peter. I mean, you just read the two and you can tell such a difference. And Peter says, I don't know what he's talking about sometimes. I have a hard time grasping it. But that's not a reason for unbelief, because look what he kept on saying. As also in all his epistles, speaking them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable twist, as they do also the other scriptures. He acknowledged Paul's writing as being scriptures. And he says they twist his writings and they twist the other scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, beware, lest you, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. What's going to prevent that from happening? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Now here are two things that cannot be separated. Grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that isn't referring simply to knowing a lot of things about him. It's knowing him. The knowledge of him, or when I use his name, I'm not name dropping. He knows me. Now that you've known God, or rather are known of God, I want to be somebody that he knows, that he acknowledges. Not just because I say it, but because it's real. Grow in grace. Now, what is grace? It's God's salvation. I want to grow in my understanding of my need of grace. Don't you? I want to be the person who's more dependent upon the grace of God than anybody else in the world, because I see I need it more than anybody else in the world. I want to grow in my understanding of my need of his grace to save me. I want to grow in my understanding that I can't be saved by my works. That the only way I can be saved is by what he does for me by his grace. I want to grow in my love for his grace. I want to be so appreciative of his grace, how he saves me by free and sovereign grace. I want to grow in my love of electing grace. And I want to grow in my love of redeeming grace. And I want to grow in my love of regenerating grace. I want to grow in my love of preserving grace. I want to grow in my love of grace before grace, prevenient grace. I want to grow in my love of everything with regard to his grace. I want to grow in it. Salvation is by grace. I want to grow in my appreciation of that, my love to that. I never want to think, well, I already know that. Let's go on to the next thing. No, I want to continually be amazed. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. I want to grow there. I want to grow in my graciousness. Now, every time I say something like that, it always scares me, because I think, well, the Lord's going to give me something to let me do that. So I hope nothing like that happens where I have to. But still, I want to grow in graciousness. I want to grow in being a merciful, gracious person. I want to grow in my understanding of what it is to preach grace, what it is to communicate the grace of God. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the altogether lovely one. And here is the automatic response that comes out of growth. To him be glory. If you grow in grace, you know, to him be glory, both now and forever. Now, if you hear this message and think, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. I can see my growth. No, you're not. Let me assure you, no, you're not. And if you're discouraged, well, you ought not be. It's growing grace. It's not growing your own strength and your own works and it's growing grace. You ought not be discouraged. But how every one of us ought to desire and ask God to cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, it is true that we have a sinful nature that never gets better, and that never improves. It's just as sinful as it ever was. And you have the same wicked desires and thirst for sin that you've ever had. Isn't that true? Sure it is. Somebody says, not with me, I don't believe it. Either that or you're just being given over to a reprobate mind and you're just blind and can't see yourself. Every believer recognizes that. Settled. If someone has God's grace given to them and they're no different than they were before at all, they don't have God's grace. Now, both of those things are true. Both of those things are true. You've got a nature that is just as bad as it ever was. And it's not going to get better. I can tell you that. It's not going to get better. It's not going to get weakened. You're going to be living with that hellish person until you die. That's why. That's one of the reasons we desire death. I'm not going to have to deal with sin anymore. That being said, if God gives you grace, He gives you grace. And you grow in love to Him. You grow in appreciation of His grace. You grow in your desire to be like Him and to honor Him in your character and in your conduct. That is your desire. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that You will cause us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that You would increase our faith. Lord, cause us to be strong men in Christ Jesus, not carried about with every wind of doctrine, but rooted and built up in Him. And Lord, You have said in Your word for us to grow in grace. So we ask that You would cause us to grow in grace, to grow in our love for Your grace, to grow in our understanding of Your grace, to grow in our ability to preach Your grace. And Lord, we ask in Christ's name that You would cause us to grow in graciousness for the glory of Thy Son. Lord, we're so aware of our sinfulness. We confess our sin. We pray for forgiveness. We pray for cleansing. And ask that You would bless these words for Your glory and our good. In Christ's blessed name we pray. Amen. Wayne, what do you got?